Welcome to Experience University, where we aim to educate, inspire, and empower individuals who wish to design transformational experiences. Now your host, Dr. Kristen Malik.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Experience University Podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Malik, and today we are talking about all things rural tourism. I want to give an overview of why we're talking about this, and then I'll introduce our lovely guest, Stacy. This was actually something that's brought up a lot. I'm known for events. I do a lot with event design. I do a lot with event strategy. I work on a wide variety of projects. Right now, I'm on a health equity project. I'm on a microplastics project. I'm on all these different projects because everything has events. Every organization has events. Associations have events. And so I get to play in a lot of different sandboxes, if that makes sense. I get to experience a lot of different things. One of the areas that people are most surprised by oftentimes is economic development and tourism, more particularly rural tourism, which is what we're going to talk about today. Honestly, to me, it makes so much sense because tourism is part of economic development, a large part of tourism, and visitors' first interactions with the community is through some kind of hosted event. To me, it makes total sense. To a lot of other people, it doesn't. I brought our guest on today, Stacy Miller, because we're going to talk about all things rural tourism, just like some things that were surprising to us, ways that events can play into rural tourism that people aren't thinking about. So Stacy, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thanks, Kristen.
I know this is so exciting. So Stacy, give us just a brief background about you, your position, and a little bit about your county, since we'll talk in county standards, but then of course I'll give my disclaimer of why we don't think in counties when we think about rural tourism.
My name is Stacy Miller. I am the director of Visit Knox County. So it's actually a new position on the second year now in Knox County. So I work in the economic development office. The ED director decided that she cannot do justice to economic development and tourism in Knox County, so brought me on board. I grew up in the tourism industry, the ag tourism industry. I grew up on a elk and buffalo ranch. We did covered wagon tours. We had two covered wagons that held 30 people each, and we'd give them covered wagon rides through our elk and buffalo herds. And we'd tell you how we raised them. You would get to pet them and feed them. It was an ag educational tour. And so we did that for 23 years until the flood. So I am very familiar with tourism, especially in Knox County. And I think we were the only one in the tri-state that gave that personal guided tours of the animals where you could actually feed them and pet them and learn about them.
How big is Knox County? Put it in perspective just for people globally who are listening.
So Knox County has about 8,000 residents. It's a hidden gem. So we had the tours. People would ask, where's Niobrara? That's where we were. So
how I know you, how we ended up interacting was one of our government agencies in the United States, the USDA, they put out a rural prosperity grant opportunity, and you connected with someone locally and you said, we're interested in doing this grant. And then I was found and I was brought in as part of this tourism and placemaking strategy team. That's how we met. I remember so distinctly when we had our first meeting. In hindsight, it could have been seen as contentious, but we're all just such delightful people, where I really pushed this boundary of like, county is a residential term. And I had everybody at the table. I said, tell me your favorite place to visit. And the answers were everywhere, like Boston, LA, Orlando, Paris, Frankfurt, all of these places. And then I said, awesome, tell me what county they're in. And nobody could do it. There wasn't a single person at the whole table that could do it. And I said, you know, that's why we have to separate residential and the tourism perspectives, because tourism, we're selling specific town names or specific attractions. We don't necessarily sell it on a county standpoint. And so that's where there is a little bit of contention there. Do you remember that meeting?
Yes. Yes. And that was not the first time I heard that. So you did great at trying to guide us through separating that, not trying to just advertise or promote Knox County, but yes, regional tourism. And yeah, people don't know state lines. They don't know county lines, but yet I'm Knox County. So it's a fine line, I guess.
Yes. It all comes down to marketing, right? It's all about what we put at the top of the brochure and the website and what's at the bottom. It's so true. We're talking about rural. We're talking about a lot of interesting places with a lot of history and history that's not always appreciated. And I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But oftentimes when I'm in these communities and I'm talking about events and tourism, I get that pushback from our lovely citizens who are saying like, I don't want those tourists in my town. I don't want them messing things up. It's kind of funny because then I say that's perfect for events because you host the event, you bring them in, and then you send them home. They're not here 24/7, 365 messing up your town. I'm doing air quotes right now, right? I know you can't hear that. Tell us about some of the signature events like the Dam Race and Klatchy Days that you have that bring in people from a wide variety of areas, both within the United States and in some cases international.
Yes, the Crofton Dam Race is a growing event. It started with only 80 participants. It's a triathlon event. They do the hike or the running, and then they do the kayaking, and then they ride their bikes from the park, the Lewis Clark State Recreation Area, which the Lewis and Clark Lake is the second largest lake in Nebraska. And so they ride from there into Crofton. And so it's, we have that feather in our hat that we have the scenic and challenging roads. And so that is an attraction to those athletes or adventure tourists, I guess, that want to experience that. And so the Crofton Dam Race Committee did an exceptional job at marketing that and bringing people from all over the country and different countries around the world that have participated in this. So, but they treat them so well. They bring them in, they wine them and they dine them, they give them great awards, they feed them well. And it's just, Kelly and I always help with that. And they come through and we just love it here. We just love the scenery and the people. And we just come every year and we bring our friends and just grow. So it started out with 80 and now they're up to almost 300. So we'll see what this brings, but it's in July of every year. Another event is Klatchy Days. Klatchy Days, they claim to be the Klatchy capital of the world. Of course, in Verdigris, it's full of a lot of Czechs. And we have our Czech heritage. And so it's Friday and Saturday is more community building events. Sunday is the more cultural day where we have the parade. You have the Queen's Ball where they announce the Klatchy King and Queen. This year I have a photographer coming. He is going to capture those moments that haven't been captured like I have wanted. And so the memories, I love Sunday because you go to the hall and there's three generations of families polka dancing. And so it's, I don't know why I'm getting emotional, but it's such a cool experience. And like how these kids are just embracing their culture with the polka dance. Other people are like, you're polka dancing. And it's like, yeah, it's fun. And you're drinking pivos and you're just having a lot of fun. And the kolaches are all gone by Sunday because everybody has bought them all. And they've enjoyed their dumplings and sauerkrauts and such. So, of course, I am Czech. So I'm partial to it. We also have Berry Pepper Days in Creighton. And that is all focused around this sweet frozen treat that they have made in the 70s. They have a whole celebration around Berry Pepper Days. And Bloomfield has their Appreciation Days. So,
well, and I love that because when I go into communities, oftentimes the first thing that I say is, okay, tell me about your signature events or your annual events. And then I say, okay, is it a community builder or is it tourism? Because both are equally important, but they're handled differently. Tourism events, obviously your community is going to come to those events if they're interested in it, but they're really geared towards bringing in people who are at least 2 hours away, influxing money into the community. And then your community builder events. I say oftentimes you need these if you're talking to the youth in your community or anyone in the community and they're like, there's nothing to do here. Why would anyone move here? I'm so ready to get out of here. I'm like, you need some community builder events because that's what builds that pride in your place. That's what gets you out to see the scenes and to talk to the people and to do all those things. And you really do have a good mix of both, which is awesome. And I will say I was pleasantly surprised by Crofton when I went up there to visit. And I know that some of those people that had been going for the dam race are also contributing to all those new houses being built right on the water. That's also driving up property values, right? Because tourists become residents. It is a cycle. That's why tourism's under economic development in most places. Right.
I do want to add in that, you know, we have two tribes in our county. They are a very large asset to our county. The Ponca tribe, their powwow, this is going to be their 30th year this year, and it's going to be 4 days. And they brought in 1,500 people last year. And so they brought in a very good crowd, and it's growing all the time. But it's a cultural event. It's very unique, and it's very cool to go experience.
So I know some people who are listening in, they are sitting there saying, well, that's cool, but I don't have the infrastructure. I don't have all the bathrooms. I don't have all the grocery stores. I don't have places for these people to sleep. You're talking about a rural community of 8,000 spread over so many miles. And now you're talking about bringing in 1,500 people to this event. I mean, obviously bathrooms, you can bring in porta potties or the executive bath or whatever style you want. But how are you handling the lodging? How does that work when people are coming in and there's not a ton of hotels in a rural area?
Right. Ponca tribe, I know the lodging filled up in almost the whole county. And that is the same weekend as our fair. So that poses a problem. The powwow is on the western end of the county and the fair is on the eastern end. But yeah, they filled up the state park. They filled up Niobrara, Verdigris. There was people staying in Norfolk. Then they have the casino. They open up a lot more camping spots down at the tribal grounds. They're expanding that this year to accommodate even more. They have tents pitched all over too. So they did build a very nice shower house with multiple bathrooms in there. And then they bring in porta potties as well. Every other community, they just bring in the porta potties. And
I would say if people want to come, they're going to find a way. I see a lot of communities who do the increase of Airbnbs or VRBOs. There's some targeted trainings in that, camping, RV parking, all of these things. So just because you don't have like a physical hotel for these 1 to 5 events that you host a year, it doesn't mean that you can't make it happen. You just have to design for it, right? You design for that as part of your strategy.
Part of the adventure.
Yes.
Part of the memory
exactly.
Of coming.
So one of the things that I always find interesting, I'm consulting with you all for a tourism strategy. And I went in and I did like a deep dive in all 11 communities. And we did these secret shopper first impressions type evaluations as well with other professionals. I went through and I kind of broke up what the different tourism strategy for each community would be, and then kind of pair them together. So for example, there's a couple places that have no infrastructure for public. It's like, okay, you are a bedroom community with a church. You don't have a restaurant. You don't have any of these things. It doesn't mean you can't bring money into your community. It's just all going to be events and pop-ups then, right? You're going to have stands or arts and crafts fairs or farmers market. Some communities have a lot of infrastructure, and where does events fit in there? And pairing things up by that. I know that that's not your normal way of thinking about that. And when I first announced what community meetings we were putting together, there was maybe some confusion. When you saw the first list, just tell me what your first impressions were and the thoughts going through your head.
I was a little nervous because I thought you was going to go to each community separate, or each community would come to you. So then when you did pair them up, I thought, oh boy, they're not going to like that because they're going to have to sit there and listen to each other's presentations. But it did make sense when you had the communities close to the water, you had the more touristic communities, or like you said, the infrastructure. So, and in the end, I think they understood and they appreciated it as well. So You have opened a lot of minds and doors in Knox County, especially, I mean, I appreciate the themes that you come up with. I wouldn't have thought of that. And wow. So I'm glad you did. It's always great to have fresh perspective and new ideas come in because it's just good.
Yes, absolutely. And seriously, it's so true because I know everywhere, but especially in rural, it's like you have very limited dollars to spend and you want to hold on to all of them. And you're like, I'm going to spend this money on this pie and it's my pie. And nobody wants to play with each other or in like a regional perspective or even the communities with each other. And then it's like, no, if you play together, yes, you're only getting a slice of that pie, but that slice is so much bigger than your whole original pie just by working together. And oftentimes when you explain it like that, people do get on board, but it's a slow process. That leads us into the last question that I have. So if you had a takeaway for everyone on the call listening in, whether it's event professional, tourism professional, economic development professional, students who are studying in any of these areas, what is your tangible piece of advice, your tangible takeaway?
As my job in tourism, and my job is to bring in tourists to hopefully they will stay, but also share with them what is in our backyard and the stories, and because they appreciate what we do have, and also to build our communities. I mean, to help our younger generation build the pride, build the appreciation for what we have. But people that don't experience what we experience every day, they want to know. They want to know the stories. They want to know what the locals do. And don't be afraid to tell them because that's what they want to know. And that's how they're going to connect with you and want to come back and want to spend their dollars in your communities.
And I love that because we can't assume what other people want, right? Just because to me, my farm in the backyard that I see every day, all day, you know, for years and years, people will travel here from Europe to come check out your farm. So it's just with things that we take for granted or that we just see it every day because it's in our backyard and it can be a real tourism attraction. But thank you so much for being on the podcast today and for sharing your wisdom, especially for other rural communities and people who maybe weren't even thinking about having events as part of their rural tourism strategy. Thank you for being on.
Thank you.
And for everybody listening in, we have one more episode on this season, season 8. Stay tuned for next week before we go on our summer sabbatical and then pick it up in season 9. Awesome. Talk to everyone later.
Thanks for listening to the Experience University podcast. Stay tuned for our next episode.